Well, happy Thanksgiving. It's good to see you, and it's also good to see an old friend of ours. Junsub was a member of the church in Michigan that I used to serve at, and he's visiting us today after service. You know, you can get to say hi to him. It's good to see Junsub as well. Today, we are reading a very short chapter in Book of Isaiah, because it's Thanksgiving, so the message is about giving thanks. Let's turn to the Book of Isaiah, chapter 12, and it's basically a psalm or a song of thanksgiving. I will read that for us. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord, although you are angry with me. Your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. And proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. We usually go down to my brother's place for Thanksgiving in Irvine, and we are going again this year as well. In my family, as well as in my brother's family, no one really cares about eating turkey except Noah, my brother's son. We would rather eat chicken on Thanksgiving than a turkey, but Noah always insists that we must eat turkey because that's what the pilgrims ate with Indians to give thanks. So just because of Noah, we always had turkey on Thanksgiving. And every year I was like, we just had turkey at church, you know, another turkey, you know, down there. And, you know, turkey takes just too long to cook. You know, some of our elders were here in the morning since 4 a.m. in the morning to cook turkey for us. It takes too long and it doesn't taste that good. But this year, I don't mean just our cooking, but turkey in general, right? Turkey in general. But this year, despite Noah's protest, my brother John and his wife Young Young, they decided that we're all gonna eat chicken. No turkey. Praise the Lord. Well, the pilgrims who came to Massachusetts were Puritans, and the Puritans were Presbyterians. Most of them were Presbyterians who thought that the Church of England was not reformed enough. According to God's word. The pilgrims were also Calvinists or Presbyterians, but they were more radical. They were radical in the sense that they did not want to stay within the Anglican Church. They wanted to be separated from the Anglican Church, and they did really separate themselves from the Church of England. So they were called the Separatists. And so they went away from England. They moved to the Netherlands to worship in their own, you know, Reformed style. And then later they decided to come to America, and you know that's the Pilgrims. So when the Pilgrims first came and celebrated Thanksgiving in America, it came after many years of hardships and sufferings. It was not easy for them to move from England to Netherlands and to live as foreigners. And it was not, the trip to America was not easy either. When they're traveling on Mayflower to get to Massachusetts, some of them died on the way. When they arrived in Massachusetts, they were met by a cold winter, and a few more of their members died during that winter season. And had they not learned how to plant and raise corns, they might have suffered from malnutrition or even from starvation. So, you know, life for them was not very easy. Isaiah 12 is a song of thanksgiving, but this song does not come in the midst of comfortable and rosy circumstances. When you look at Isaiah chapters 1 to 10, it's all about God's judgment, God's horrible, dreadful judgment on God's people, the people that God had chosen for their persistent rebellion and idolatry. And just as Pilgrim's Thanksgiving came after a long suffering, the Song of Thanksgiving comes after long chapters, long oracles of God's judgment. Let me just give you a sample of what God's judgment was like. Isaiah 1, a sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? So Israel kept rebelling against God. They kept forsaking God and followed idols generation after generation. So even God, you know, his patience ran out. And in his anger, God brought judgment upon the northern Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And God's judgment came in the form of the Assyrian invasion. God incited the Assyrians to attack Israel and Judah. The Assyrians came and they committed a genocide. They burned cities and laid the whole country waste, except the city of Jerusalem. But even Jerusalem was later to be destroyed and burned by the Babylonians. Then in chapter 10, the Assyrians in turn will be judged by God for their arrogance and atrocities. Assyria will be destroyed later by the Babylonians, but a remnant of Israel will remain, and they will see the coming of a shoot from the stump of Jesse. That's referring to the Messiah. And when Messiah comes, he will bring a new kingdom where the wolf will lie with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child to lead them. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And also there is a reference to the Messiah. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Cush, Elam, Babylon, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. So there is going to be a second exodus, and God's kingdom will be realized. And when prophet Isaiah sees this vision of God's salvation, he bursts forth in a song of praise and a song of thanksgiving. And he gives thanks to God for his mercy. Although you are angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Once God's judgment served its purpose, God's grace comes to comfort his people and allow for a new beginning. He gives thanks for God's presence among his people. Sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. But most of all, he gives thanks to God for his salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And if you read Exodus, you will notice that the Lord is my strength and my song is a line from Miriam's song after Israel had been delivered from the Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. And this song looks back toward the first Exodus, and it looks forward to the second Exodus. The prophet calls people to thank God for God's salvation in the past and for his salvation in the future. Now, there are many things for us to be thankful for today. We are very thankful for allowing us to move to this building. We are thankful for our families, as our kids have mentioned, our church members, our health, jobs, our possessions. They're all good gifts from the Lord, as we have mentioned. But there is one thing that trumps all other blessings, and it is the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. It's the gift that Jesus paid with his own blood. And when we give thanks to God for his salvation, we thank God not only for the salvation in the past, but for God's salvation in the present and in the future. Just like God's kingdom, which is here but not yet fully realized, our salvation is also here, and yet it is not yet fully realized. So salvation is a past and present and a future reality. We have been saved in the past, and that is true. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved." It's in the past tense. "Through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Salvation in the past refers to God's two great gifts, the gift of justification and adoption. We are declared righteous by faith, and we are adopted as sons and daughters of God. But we are also in the process of being saved. So salvation is something that is being worked out in the present. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved," in the present tense, who are being saved, it is the power of God. So salvation in the present refers to two great promises of God, our sanctification and the perseverance of the saints. Sanctification means that we become more and more holy as Jesus Christ. And perseverance means that our salvation will not be lost by our own failures. If salvation depended upon our performance, then salvation would no longer be a gift of grace. Salvation is also a reality in the future. Our salvation will be complete when Christ returns in glory. Romans 13:11, "Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." So Paul talks of salvation as something that will be completed in the future. And our future salvation means our glorification. The children of God will be raised in a new body, fit to live forever in God's kingdom. With our bodies, we cannot exist forever. We will become the perfect person that God had meant us to be. And sin in our hearts, sin in our lives, will be completely eradicated. The whole creation will be redeemed, and we will receive God's kingdom as our inheritance. So today, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we can thank God for our past salvation and for our present salvation and for the future salvation. And, you know, during this time of Thanksgiving, we may feel more thankful than other days of the year. But how thankful are we during the rest of the year? Are we thankful every day? How can we be thankful each day of the week? A clue in our text is that we are to draw water from the wells of salvation. And what would that mean? A well is a supply, a water supply that does not run out because there is, you know, water under the underground, current of water. And drawing from the well would not be just once in a lifetime event. Drawing from the wells of salvation is something that we can turn to every day, every time, to be filled with gratitude. So we can be thankful every day when we count all the spiritual blessings that we enjoy because of our salvation in Christ. Our material blessings, our circumstances change, but our spiritual blessings are constant. When we count the blessings of salvation, we can thank God even in the midst of our hardships and trials, when things are not going well for us, when we are sick or poor or under stress. And what are some spiritual blessings that we can enjoy as a result of our salvation? One thing from our text is that we have escaped the dreadful judgment of God. We forget how horrible it is to fall under God's judgment. But God's anger was turned away because the root of Jesse, because Messiah received God's punishment in our place. And Apostle Paul lists some other blessings that we have through our salvation in Ephesians. He says, God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. In him, we have redemption, being set freed. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions. So our salvation in Christ is like wells from which we can keep on drawing blessings like forgiveness, redemption, justification, adoption, the presence of the Holy Spirit, eternal life, and the eternal inheritance in God's kingdom. And drawing from the well would require a bit of effort on our part. Giving thanks is a choice. We have to make an effort to make a choice to give thanks. We have to stop and choose to ponder about our spiritual blessings, and we choose to ponder and give thanks even when we do not feel like giving thanks. And so when we choose to count and consider the blessings we have in our salvation, we will be filled with thanks. And the gratitude in our hearts will bring us joy. And when our hearts are filled with thanksgiving, we can open our mouths to tell the good news of what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do for the nations. Today we are, as you can see, celebrating the Lord's Supper. Another name for the Lord's Supper in Latin is Eucharist, and Eucharist means thanksgiving. So Lord's Supper is a way of expressing our gratitude to God for his salvation. So as we participate in the Lord's Supper today, let us give thanks to God for God's salvation in the past, in the present, and in the future. Father, we thank you for saving us by your grace. Lord, help us to stop and ponder on all the spiritual blessings that we enjoy because of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And may our counting of the blessings cause thanksgiving to bubble up in our hearts and bring joy. Lord, we thank you for the promise that you, who began a good work in us, would bring it to completion. We thank you that you are working in our life right now to make us more like Jesus Christ. Lord, we trust in your promise that you will make us holy and blameless on the day of your return. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
I want to invite you to stand and worship God.